Mel had come here and her and Rock and said, we have to feed our members. I mean, they had already knew Matt and Janae had lost stuff. It was just devastating for everyone. And it wasn't just for our church members. I mean, it was for whoever could come. And
so did you make sandwiches and take meals to people working out at their residence?
We did. The first thing we did is like breakfast burritos. We and then we just randomly took them to people and tried to contact them to find out how many, you know, do you have out there. We're just going to, you know, one less thing that you have to do. And okay, so the fire was on a
Monday. Everybody came back on Tuesday.
I know we didn't even go home. We stayed in town at Chance's because we had no power. So I think town was generating at that point in time.
Yes, I think so.
But we out of the house had no power because we were CMS. Or RCMS. And we didn't even get power until Thursday.
Right.
So
did you go out and retrieve clothes so that you could work here in town? Or?
No, because I didn't even work. All my stuff is on my computer at the house, and I remote in from there. But I guess we did go out to the house and grab.
Did you get shoes?
I did. I grabbed my tennis shoes instead of my flip-flops. We did go to the school and eat at one point in time. I don't remember. Yeah. And we ate here, and I just remember eating here and just men coming in, firefighters coming in, just covered in soot.
When did they decide to open the camp and make meals out there? Was that after the big meeting that they decided that we needed more?
I was not involved in that part of it. We probably did meals here for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then they decided, okay, we can open this up. But Mel would be a better one to ask on that. Her and Rock.
So, what kind of meals did you serve? You served breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
They kind of just did. Yeah, they just kind of did random. They would do like breakfast burritos in the morning, and they would just have, I want to say they would just have sandwich stuff kind of at lunch, and then we always had some type of meal of some sort, whether it be spaghetti or whether it be, I mean, they made things that were, that you could make in quantity, because at one point in time, there were like 200 people down in the basement, which is a lot.
So did you help serve meals during that week?
I did not. Because I was helping Janae. You know, it was just an emotional time. I mean, I honestly don't even remember the day to day once we got back. It was just such a blur. And then, you know, I had to keep in contact with work, you know, whether it be they had questions or anything like that.
Where did Janae and Matt end up? Did they spend some time in their RV?
Yeah. Kevin Maris has his little RV park, and they said, just bring your RV here. And so that's what they ended up doing, which is behind the Catholic Church. And they were probably there for maybe a month or so.
So what kind of cleanup did they have to do out at their house?
They had to have special crews come in because, one, the house that was east of theirs, you know, it had asbestos. I mean, it just wasn't healthy. I mean, there were so many different materials, and so they had to have a company. I don't even know who they got to come in, and they basically bulldozed what is still standing as a structure, which nothing was really still standing, but just picking it up and then actually filling in the hole where it was, because I mean, it was things had where the crawl space was, things had just fallen down. And so but that probably
were they able to retrieve anything? Was everything completely burnt?
We did go out there and try to find just some random things, and we found, like, a cross and that was kind of on her front porch. My grandpa's spurs, she knew where they were. They were on a shelf, and she was hoping that they didn't burn, and because they were metal, of course, and the leather straps burned, but she was able to find those. So, it wasn't very safe to be digging through all of it because you didn't know. I mean, there were so many different materials in there, you didn't know what you were inhaling. So they just found some random things that they could, but nothing that was, there was one point in time, I still have it, when we all went out there, Charlie found... Well, Janae and I do music here at the church, and there's the, she had a hymnal, of course.
Right.
And she found, Charlie found these two pieces of the hymnal just random blowing out there in the wind.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Look, Aunt Jessica, I found this, and this is exactly what it was." And we really couldn't see the page numbers on it, but it's, "Come, ye sinners, poor and needy."
Mm-hmm.
And then, "Come, let us reason," were the names of the... It's just one page,
right.
And it's front and back. And that Sunday after the fire happened, we sang both of these songs because we just felt like... Even though you felt like God maybe wasn't with you, he was with you.
Who sang? You and...
Me, Janae, Charlie. I don't know for sure who all sang that day, but I know me, Janae, and Charlie for sure sang.
Yeah. So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Just the anxiety of not knowing... The adrenaline of let's hurry and get out of here so that we can be safe. And then the sadness when you know that people lost their animals and their homes and their... Mm-hmm. But with all that sadness, I mean, there were so many acts of kindness and good things that came out of it, and... So what was a tragedy was also a blessing.
Yep. So did you have a chance to volunteer, or you just mainly helped your family? Did you volunteer like maybe a couple weeks down the road?
I did help Mel a little bit. I didn't help as much as I should have or wanted to. I don't even know.
Did you have to return to work?
I mean, I had to.
And could you work from home once they got your electricity back up?
Right. So and at that point in time, you know, I hadn't worked since Monday. So I just, you know, and then I was a little bit further behind than what I would have liked to have been. But so I had that obligation.
Yep.
But I did come in from time to time, but. I didn't help as much as I should have. I regret that, but...
Or could have.
Yeah, or could have.
If you were able to. I mean, I think we're all... jobs interfered with what we could do.
Right.
So you've lived out here most of your life in Southwest Kansas. And
I grew up in Dodge City.
Mm-hmm. You've seen grass fires before.
Yeah, but I mean, nothing like this.
So our experience with grass fires, how did that temper your reaction when you first heard there was a fire?
I didn't even think about it. I just was like, oh, it'll be okay. Matt had already said, nope, it's going north. You know, I just didn't even, you're like numb to it. You just, oh, it'll be okay. You just don't think it's going to happen to you.
So later when you knew it was a bigger fire and you were going to have to leave and you went to town and evacuated from Ashland, mm-hmm. what was your emotional response then? Were you more uptight? Or
I was definitely uptight.
Did you wish you would have brought some clothes?
Yeah. I mean, you look back and you think, well, what should I have grabbed, you know? But, I mean, at that point in time, my dogs were the most important thing, you know, and Chris, from my immediate household. I was worried about all my cats. I mean, we have outside cats. They're not inside cats. But I was just hoping that they would find some type of shelter if it had come. But even just the smoke inhalation itself, you know.
Right. So when you got to town and you went over to Bessie Sea Cats, mm-hmm. did she know anything about the fire? Talk about your conversation with her when you got there.
I'm pretty sure she did not know that town was being evacuated. But I just went to check on her, and she knew that there was a fire. I mean, she knew that, I mean, obviously because it was smoky, and she knew that, but she did not know that town was being evacuated. And I just told her, I said, you know, grab what you can. And I think she got her Bible. I think she had a coat.
And her music.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She had her music. That's right.
Because she just played it the day before.
Yes.
And it was laying out on the organ bench.
Yes. And so when we did that, we just loaded her up in the vehicle.
And you went to Janae's.
We went to Janae's. And I just remember her sitting on the couch at Janae's. Because we were probably only at Matt and Janae's for maybe 20 minutes.
Right.
Because by that point in time, then that's when they were evacuating surrounding areas, because mm-hmm. we thought we would be okay out at Matt and Janae's. We really didn't think that we were going to have to leave Matt and Janae's. And then we realized that, okay, they're making us all leave. So,
was the smoke pretty black by the time you got out to Janae's, or did that happen after you started toward protection? And did it come in quickly?
Yeah, it came in quickly. I don't recall the smoke being that bad to the east mm-hmm. when we went to Matt and Janae's, which that probably would have been about 3:30.
Yeah.
Because we left Matt and Janae's probably around a little after four.
So you're kind of in front of it all.
Yeah. But then by the time we left when we were leaving Matt and Janae's, the smoke was already awful and it was already really black to the east.
So everybody was...
It was so black, that's why we decided to go north instead. Right. And then we got diverted, so... Yeah.
So was the smoke bad enough that everybody was having a hard time breathing?
Yeah, it was awful. It was just the thickness of it. And so, I don't really recall the ash being at Matt and Janae's. I know the ash was when we left our house. Around 3, it was just like coming down like snow.
Yeah. So who were some of the people or agencies that were most helpful during the fire or after the fire?
Well, the first one that I saw, well, our volunteer firefighters for one. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. we count on them and they go out and risk their own lives and don't even get paid for it, you know, and... So I was one worried about them, our emergency crews, cause I didn't know who or if anybody was hurt. I mean, not necessarily, I wasn't thinking necessarily fire, but I was thinking like breathing and just people getting, I know I was uptight. I can't imagine someone who had a heart condition that was uptight that, and then, the next people that I saw that was, probably the Red Cross, that would have been at the Coldwater High School. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't know if it was the Humane Society or what it was, but they were, you know, everybody brought their animals with them. So they were trying to find kennels and things like that to kind of separate the people from the dogs and have a safe place for the dogs and the animals to go and dogs and cats. And people had horses and, I mean, you know, because Nicole grabbed her horses. Because they were right at the edge of town, so she had loaded up them. And I think livestock knew what was happening. I mean, because I want to say Nicole had a hard time even catching her horses. And, you know,
Except for the cows.
Yeah, except for the cows. Yeah. So. I do remember that day when we came, when we finally got to a stopping point, and then we went back out to Matt and Janae's because they wanted to check on livestock. So we literally all just brought vehicles and roamed the entire pasture so that we could find, you know, what we could. And she had found, you know, calves that were just barely breathing, or, I mean, I remember her coming up and she just had a calf in her arms and it wasn't very old.
Did they have to put down a lot of cattle?
They lost, I mean, they were fortunate. They only lost maybe, I want to say, 8 to 15 head.
Right.
No, and they didn't lose any other horses.
And they lost fencing?
They lost almost all of their fencing.
Did they lose all their pasture?
Pretty much.
So what'd they do with the cattle?
On both sides.
Yeah, so what'd they do with the cattle that were left?
There was a gentleman over by Coldwater, I believe, I can't even remember his name, that said, just bring all your cattle over here, and he let them graze over there for free.
So did they take advantage of any of the free hay that came?
Yes.
Were they able to use that?
Yes. There were people that just personally brought hay out to their place, and then there were they would go get what they could, because all their grass burnt pretty much, and all their hay bales. They had a bunch of hay bales by the house that was east of their house, and they lost all those.
So can you perceive of anything positive that has resulted from the fire?
A lot of things. Number one, our community came together as a whole. Makes you appreciate the things that you take for granted and people that you take for granted, because you don't know what's going to happen day to day. There were, and the outpouring of love, oh my gosh, was just so overwhelming. When people, I mean, convoys of hay and fencing and just crews, and we've met some wonderful people, you know, that came and helped, and from all over the United States.
So, did Janae and her family take advantage of all the clothes that came?
They did go. They grabbed what they could at the house before we even left. They just like, and Shailin, she was not, I guess I'd have to jump back, but it was just Celia and Charlie that were with us, because Shailin had a forensics meet in Dodge, and then they ended, or somewhere close to Dodge, and they ended up having to turn around and stay in Dodge. So she wasn't even with us the whole time. So we were communicating by phone with her, and but we did go up to the high school. I just think they felt like, which amazes me, because they lost everything, you know.
Right.
But she said, there are, she kept saying, you know, like, there are people that need it probably more than we do, you know. I mean, like, Carol and Dave lost everything too, and he didn't want to go up there and get, right, look for jeans or boots or socks and underwear, and, you know, I mean,
those things you kind of want to buy, though.
Yeah, and, but they did, we did go up there, and so we grabbed a few things, yes.
And the girls helped at the school, volunteered? Uh-huh. During the week when the firefighters were here?
I think so, yes.
So did you get to meet any of the firefighters that came in? Or?
Yes. We met, I don't remember any of their names, but we met crews that came from Denver and New Mexico and all over. I mean, I can't even, those are the ones that stand out. And you just say thank you and cry. And they probably see it every day. But I know that they did say that it was very overwhelming, the welcoming, the camaraderie, and just the kindness that our community gave to them.
That's true. So, what effect, physical, emotional, or financial, has the fire had on you? Or on the community as a whole?
Well, on me, it would just probably mostly be emotional.
Have you been able to help your sister, Janae, start rebuilding? or finding what she wants? Are they plan to rebuild?
They just they actually just purchased. I mean, literally, just this last month is when they finally. The house will be done, I think, on my birthday, which is February 25th.
Okay.
But it won't be in place until probably May. So.
And where do they plan to put it?
They're going to put it not in the same spot that their house was, but a little bit north of that. So, just a little bit north of that spot where they're up higher and not in a floodplain.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. That's right.
What things or plans can you do to be prepared for another such occurrence, whether it be a fire or tornado or
Well, number one, I mean,
or what have you done too?
I haven't done anything because I'm a procrastinator. Okay. I think about things that I need to do. Just the important things. I mean, whether it be your documents, have them all in one place. Which we do, we do have a safe and we decided, okay, we need to put these particular things in there. But, you don't think about your insurance policies or, you know, anything like that. Okay. And you just have to think about, I guess what's important to you. And even if I got out with just the clothes that were on my back, to me that was most important because I had Chris and my life, and we didn't lose anyone in our community. I mean, there was that gentleman. There were people that passed, and that was awful. But you can never prepare yourself.
Yeah.
You can prepare yourself all you want, but until you're in that situation, it just goes so fast.
So what about the community? How can the community be more prepared or make better preparations? Or do you feel we were ready for something like that?
I don't think anybody's ready for anything like that. But the people that stepped up to, I mean, just like Mike Harden? Mike Harden that went and plowed around town. I mean, I would have never thought of that. I do know that when we left, Chris turned all of our sprinklers on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because he thought, he had the windmill going, and because we have a windmill that's just right behind our house, and he turned all the hoses and sprinklers on that we could, just in case. I don't think you can ever prepare. I mean, you can prepare for taking care of the aftermath of it. I think we did a pretty darn good job. We saved our community. Not me, but our volunteer firefighters and all the people that came in helped save our community. And saved. I mean, there were still countless things lost.
Yeah.
But
is there anything that you miss? You said you didn't lose anything, but is there something that you miss that's like out there on your way home that got burned or that milestone or some type of
nothing really around our house so much.
Any landmarks or place that you used to look for to turn?
Well, I mean, it's very strange driving by Matt and Janae's when it's just a flat surface.
Yeah, really.
And I don't know. I'm thankful, honestly, that there's still trees out there that are burnt to remind us because we had wonderful rains after and it made everything so beautiful and green. And it kind of took that reminder of what happened away a little bit, but yet you still see trees and, you know, barns and.
You spoke about the smoke smell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how long that hung around or how it changed? I mean, did it always smell the same?
Yeah, it did. It was probably a good month. And then when it rained, you could really smell it. And I can remember, you know, I work from home, but I can remember work at Dodge saying, we can smell the smoke. I mean, they had a small fire at Dodge that same mm-hmm. time,
right.
But they could smell the smoke from Ashland, from that area.
So when you go home from Ashland and stuff, or can you tell how the grass has grown since the fire, or how things have changed since the fire?
Yeah, there's a lot more weeds. It's like these weird random weeds. But there's grass. I mean, and it's still kind of, because we actually were driving out in the pasture just not too long ago, Matt and Janae's, where they were showing us where they were going to put the house. And I mean, there's definitely little patches of grass, but then there's just, it looks like desert dirt, desert sand, you know, and there's patches of that. So I don't know if it will ever come back. I mean, it's not lush like it was. And now that we're kind of in a drought right now again, but at least we have a little bit of grass out there and it's not just completely desolate. So,
do you have any other thoughts or something that you'd like to say about this experience, Dick? Anything you want to add that you've thought about since we started?
We may have lost a lot of things, but we've probably gained way more between love and respect and kindness.
Yeah. I think you're right. So, okay. Thank you very much
for
sharing
your
experiences.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Yeah.